The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Bill Nye, the science guy here. Whenever I am listening to the radio, especially Tech Talk Radio, it's just such a party.
Welcome to another segment of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeard.
And I'm Justin Lemmy.
Good to see you all. Great show last week. You know what? I learned a lot. The biggest thing I learned last week from the show was Farming Simulator is cool.
Oh.
What the heck? You know, you talked about it last week, Justin, on the show, Farming Simulator 2022. And I thought, okay. And we were kind of, scoffing. Sean was saying he played it for what? How long, Sean? 45 minutes?
Oh, it wasn't even that. I think it was like 23 minutes.
I think long enough for Justin to run me over with a combine.
So
I go online and I'm thinking, what is this game he's playing? Right. And I start looking at it. I'm like, wow, the graphics are kind of cool. And I'm looking at it, and then the next day, after our show got ready to go, I hear that Farming Simulator is the biggest game right now.
It is.
It's huge. It's enormous.
Yep. And so actually, it's funny because we're looking at Steam profile or Steam games right now, and it actually says, and Sean, if you look into chat, you'll see the picture I'm talking about. It mentions that Farming Simulator 22 has more players, concurrent active players, than Battlefield 2042.
Right.
Like the new Battlefield first-person shooter game, like AAA title. Farming Simulator, as of the picture that was taken, had 93,782 active players at that moment. Battlefield, on the other hand, only had 46,435.
So now why do you think it's so popular?
Because it's a good game and it's chill. Like, I don't always want my heart rate to be up and I don't want to be stressed out like with Battlefield. Like, I sometimes, when I sit to play a game, I sit to play to chill out and to hang out. And this is the type of game. Farming Simulator is the type of game to let me do that. I can just hang out at my own pace, do things my way, and not have to worry about getting sniped from the top of a mountain in Battlefield.
Wait, they don't offer that in Farming Simulator?
I'm sure there's a mod for that.
Like cows with guns?
You
could probably hunt snipe, yeah. Yeah. So no, but seriously, though, it is just a very cool, chill game. And I love it. I've been playing the heck out of it. As a matter of fact, I think probably currently I've got close. And this is just because of last week. And remember, I only get like 1 or 2 hours a night at the most to play it. I think I've logged probably close to 40 hours already.
Wow.
Yeah, just playing it off and on. And then last week, you know, being Thanksgiving week and all, Tuesday, you know, I had to watch Eric myself Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday because, you know, Misa had to work and then Eric doesn't have school. So Tuesday came and I said, you know what, dude? We're just going to have a gaming session all day.
Oh, that's cool. With the sun.
And we didn't actually do it all day. Like we you know, got our breakfast, went for a walk, did that kind of stuff. And then we came downstairs and played. He got to play as Mario for a couple hours. I got to play Farming Simulator for a couple hours. And then we went upstairs, had lunch, took a nap, you know, and then by that time, Mom was home. So we got like 2 or 3 hours out of it during the day. And we had fun. Just each of us just chilling.
One of the things I thought was pretty amazing because, all right, so, you know, when you put out a movie, you kind of want to put out a movie if it's a blockbuster, when you don't have another blockbuster out. You know what I mean? You kind of got to time all that. And I don't know if Farming Simulator planned it this way with Battlefield, you know, 2042 coming out. Mm-hmm. Battlefield has had a lot of bugs. I mean, more bugs than you would have on a farm. They've had a lot of bugs within the game. There's been a lot of issues that have come up with Battlefield. Do you think that maybe people are just going, oh, forget this, and jumping over to the next big game, which has been Farming Simulator?
Well, yeah, could very well possibly be. Because the thing is right now, Battlefield's got a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
It is the new kid on the block, and being that it's a AAA title, I'm personally getting tired of these companies thinking that they can release a AAA title, which is basically in beta. Okay,
yeah.
There's so many bugs, and then they release it to the public and let the public be the beta testers, and then they come out with patches later on. I'm getting so tired of that. If I spend $60 to $70, $80 to $100 on a game, I want it to be nearly perfect.
Right.
And I know that Farming Simulator isn't nearly perfect. There are a lot of bugs with Farming Simulator, but nothing that's game-breaking. Whereas Battlefield, it's game-breaking.
Yeah, like, what surprises me, I don't know if I have a fast enough... I'm building one, but I don't know if I have a fast enough system that would be able to play it.
Oh, Battlefield. Yeah, maybe not. But Farming Simulator, you could easily play that.
But there was an issue, though, with Farming Simulator, and I sent you a link on that, and I don't know if you were able to...
Oh, I did.
To get,
I did.
So it was regarding to some video issues that they were having to the based on the video cards that were being used to play the game. Was that able to fix anything for you?
Basically what they were doing is they were capping the frame rate at 60 frames a second, which is still respectable. 60 yeah. frames a second is pretty darn good. However, if you have the capability of doing 120 or 240, you know, yeah, you're going to want everything you can get. Actually, you can't even do 240. It's 120, basically.
Yeah.
There's a little fix you do that allows you to turn on developer options, and then you just press an F key, and it allows you to unlock the frame rate.
Ah.
I went from 60 to approximately 85.
And did you notice a big difference?
Not really.
No.
Not really. I mean, it was already smooth as it is.
Right.
So, no, I really personally didn't notice a difference.
How does somebody get the game? Do they have to have a Steam account? Can they buy this in retail? How do they get it?
So, I don't know what this retail thing you're talking about is.
You know, you go into Walmart, you go into Best Buy. Yeah. Yeah.
Physical
one of those
copies.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
You're probably just going to want a Steam account. You can go to steampowered.com. You can sign up for a free Steam account. Steam is kind of like the, Sean, how would you describe Steam as a platform? It's kind of like it's a repository.
The world's largest collection of digital video games.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
You can buy them and then they stay there and you can play whenever you want.
They stay with your account.
Yeah.
So you can uninstall it, reinstall it at any time. You don't need the disc or the CD key. It just goes and it just happens. And you can transfer from computer to computer, right?
Yeah.
Can you do that?
No, Steam's great. And it's funny because a lot of people say it's where good games go to die because you'll download a game and you'll never play it.
That's true. My Steam library has games from, and they do these things called the Steam sale, like the summer sale and the winter sale, where the games are just dirt cheap and you just start buying things left and right and then you never play them. But
you can get good games that are usually like $4.99, $5 for 12 cents.
You're kidding me.
No,
really?
You could spend $10 and get 15 games.
Yeah. Oh, wow. But then you might not ever play them.
Libraries are in the hundreds of games,
yeah.
And they've played maybe 10 of them.
Yeah, I've got well over 150 games in my Steam library, and I've probably played, I'd say at least 90% of them at least once.
Right.
But yeah, after once, I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Now, is it like, you know, with, I remember I played the first Medal of Honor. Remember that? And I remember ending it, and it was like, it was so intense when you ended that game. Because you were on the beaches of Normandy, and it was just an amazing experience.
Yeah.
Do you end anything in Farming Simulator, or just keep going?
I don't know. I haven't been there. I mean, so the object is obviously to have a successful farm, and you can sell your crops to the areas around town. So you're in a town, so there's going to be a grocery store where you can sell your eggs and strawberries and things to. There's going to be a textiles plant where you can sell your cotton. And, you know, other things like that. Or you can sell your wheat to the bio plant and make sell corn to the biofuel plant and make ethanol or whatever. And then eventually you can actually, with this version, 2022, you can actually start making producing plants, like a tailor shop, where you can take your cotton to the tailor shop and they'll make clothes out of it and you can sell the clothes.
Wow.
Now, after they sell the clothes, what happens? Nothing really. You just get the money from selling clothes, but you live in a tiny small town. I don't understand how you're making $1 million off of clothes, but hey, that's just the way the game works. So I think it's really just, I think the end game is once you own every single plot of land and you're able to farm it, which is impossible because you can only hire 4 AI helpers at a time.
That's it.
And so it's you and 4 AI helpers. There's no way you can farm 20 to 30 pieces of land at any given time. So yeah, I think there's no ending to the game.
It's just fun to play.
It's just fun to play.
Right. Farming Simulator. That's cool. How much was it? Is it?
Well, so it's $59.99 for the standard.
Ooh.
I bought the $80 version, which gives me the year one pass. So as they come out with updates and there's a new map that's coming out, I will get that for free. So, yeah, I mean, it was just more to support the company, whatever. Also, with the $80 version, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe you also get the government subsidy sign. This is a road sign that you place on your property. And when you do that, it gives you $350,000 per game hour, which equates to real time hours, about $1 million an hour.
Wow. Okay.
So what you do is you start a farm, you put that sign down for one real life hour, and now you've got $1 million to go ahead and start your farm with.
Nice. That's your subsidy. You got to pay that back, but yeah,
no.
No,
you don't. No.
Oh. Well, that's nice.
Nope.
I had to pay back a subsidy.
Yeah, well, you got ripped off.
I didn't like that.
But no, the graphics are beautiful. The animations, they introduced ranching, so you can ranch, you can raise chickens, you can raise sheep, your pigs, horses, cows, each to have their own challenges to it. I'm raising chickens, and what I love about the chickens, I swear to God, this is so cool. I had my character wake up at 5 a.m. when it was still dark out.
Right.
I walked over to the chicken coop, and all the chickens, their animations, right, of the game, they were all with their heads tucked underneath their wing.
Oh, wow.
Like a chicken really sleeps.
Right.
And then I sat there and I waited and I watched the clock tick down. So like in game, it's 1 second per minute of 1 second of real time per minute of game time.
Right.
So I sat there for like 60 seconds, waited for it to go to the next hour. And then what happened? The rooster jumped up onto the fence post and went, and all the chickens woke up. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
That is really cool.
That is so realistic.
That is neat. I like that. Cool. All right. So not that expensive. You can find it on Steam. Farming Simulator 2022. Maybe I'll try and see if I can pick it up this week and have some fun with
it. It's a
That'd
great
cool.
chill game.
Sean, will you give it another look?
I don't want to die again. He ran me over with a combine.
Oh, come on, Sean, come on. I've got this brand new harvester cultivator. I really want to test it out on a human. Come on.
Yeah. No.
I need fertilizer for my fields.
I'm going to do the math here. 9 years since that happened. 2013.
You have not forgotten about it.
I have not forgotten about it.
Yep.
He's
That's
the
awesome.
Reason I moved away from California.
All right. This past Friday was Black Friday. And then, of course, you had Cyber Monday. The biggest Black Friday seller, and it's kind of amazing when it comes to consoles, was the Xbox Series S. The biggest Black Friday seller overall, according to one of the reports that Adobe had put in, was the Xbox Series S. That was the big seller that everybody wanted this year, which, you know, that's a good sign. That's a good sign for Microsoft.
Yeah. Even over the, the thing is, I guess maybe because you just can't find a PlayStation 5 anywhere.
Yeah.
But and honestly, you really can't find the Xbox Series X anywhere either. I got an X.
Right. So what is the difference between the X and the S?
The X compared to the S is like comparing a Ferrari to a Honda.
Ooh, Honda's a good car, but it's quite a big gap there.
Yeah, it is quite a big gap. It's like twice as powerful as the S. It also supports 4K. I don't think the S supports 4K. It's just way more powerful.
I think the S was probably in more of everybody's price range.
Sure,
when you get down to it.
Absolutely. And that's the kind of the thing with the PlayStation 5. Like now, right now, the PlayStation 5 is just the PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
But eventually, they're going to have the PlayStation 5 Pro, which is going to be faster and better than the PlayStation 5. So therefore, then the PlayStation 5 original would be comparable to the S, Xbox S, whereas the PlayStation 5 Pro would be comparable to the Microsoft Xbox Series X.
Now, do you guys know what happened to Valve's handheld? You know,
I have a pre-order.
Yeah, so wasn't it supposed to be out like already?
Yeah, December.
Oh, it's December. So
yeah, but it got delayed to like first quarter of 2022.
So you're going to still have, it's not going to be out in time for Christmas then?
No.
Oh.
I'm looking at probably February, March, maybe. But the thing is honestly, I thought about canceling my pre-order because I'm like, what am I going to use it for?
Yeah.
And then I found Farming Simulator.
And that would run on that.
Oh, yes, it would.
There's not going to be a moment. It's going to be with him in the bathroom. It's going to be with him in the break room.
Yep.
It's going to be everywhere.
Yep.
I like that. Did you guys get anything for Black Friday? Any deals or Cyber Monday? Nope.
I honestly didn't really pay attention to it. You know, I ended up not having to work Friday, and I just spent it hanging out with my family. I saw Wise was actually kind of disappointing in their Black Friday sales. It wasn't really anything that I either already didn't have.
They were combos.
It really was. Yeah, it was combos. And the interesting thing I saw was their combos. It has the Google Home.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So what's up with that? That's new. They've never made any announcements about that.
They're partnering with Google.
Do you think eventually Google will come in and say, oh, we're going
to
buy it?
They had to partner with somebody, right? Because Amazon's got the Ring.
Did you hear that, though, Sean?
Do you think maybe Google would purchase them? I mean, come on. Every company sets itself up.
I don't know. Wise got big too fast, I think. And there's no way they can keep supporting all of the new things they want to do without having some sort of huge capital.
They should go on Shark Tank.
It's a little late for Shark Tank. Wouldn't it be for Wise?
Yeah. I'm seeking $150 million for 1% of my company.
You know, and it's funny. Somebody, my friend Tom sent me a note today. Asked me, he says, I'm thinking about getting a camera that'll go outside. What's the best one? And I told him, I says, now I am a big fan of Nest. I've got the Nest system and I like it. The quality is great. It's never let me down. It's been really good. However, I told him, I says, really, you cannot go wrong with an outdoor Wise camera if, you know, budget is something you're thinking about. They're easy to use. They've got solar panels now. You don't have to climb up there and change the battery depending on where you're putting it. I've only had one camera die on me. Out of four that I bought, one camera died. Tried charge, can't get a charge to it, nothing. But it was on a very strong rainy day that I think it just zapped the camera.
Ooh. The thing that they announced right before Black Friday, and I bought it, and they didn't have it in any sales because maybe it was a pre-order thing, but they have the Wise lamp socket.
What is that?
So this is you screw it into your light socket. It's got a motion sensor on it, and it is a Wise device that you screw in a regular light bulb to it. It could be a Wise bulb, could be a regular light bulb, but then it also has USB on it so you can power the version 3 camera. So you could plug this into like your porch light and then have your camera sitting up next to the porch light and have power to it.
Oh no, that's actually pretty cool.
Interesting. Okay, so you know what? I'm glad you mentioned that because I didn't know about the USB part of it. I have a friend of ours who's looking to add some cameras to her house, and she said, I think this might be the great thing for me is the Wise outlet. And I kind of looked at it and I'm like, well, yeah, but then you lose the ability to have an actual light out there. Cause I thought it was just, you screw it in and then it gives you like the ability to put a USB. I didn't really understand that it actually had another light socket. So you could actually,
you could have a light bulb in it. Yeah.
I'm opening it right now so you guys can see this, but it's much like, you know, if you have a closet with a light socket and you need power in it, right. It's got the hole for the light bulb,
right.
You know, screws in. And then it's got a little rubber grommet.
Very
cool. It's got a USB port on it.
That's cool.
So you could plug in the version 3 is rated IPv86, right?
Right.
So it's rated to be outside all the time. So I'm not going to put it out where it's going to get rained out all the time or snowed on, right? I'm going to put it out on my back slider light where it's going to overlook but it's covered. So it doesn't get rained out all the time, but it's outside, right? So if the wind blows and it gets a little wet or it gets damp, not gonna be into the world, but it's perfect for that. Right?
Now how much
I
is?
I think they were only $14 or $15 a piece.
Oh, are you kidding
really
me?
That
oh my gosh,
really?
I'd have to look. I don't. They weren't terribly expensive. That's why I bought two.
Yeah. And it's
what now are you gonna use them for?
I'm gonna put one. So right now I'm on the front of my house. I've got a version 3 camera in a front facing window. Using the little rubber flat piece that prevents it from getting the light from in the house and all that stuff, right?
Oh, wait, there's a rubber flat piece you can do?
Yeah, and it sticks right to the window.
What?
Yeah.
Sticks right. You peel it off, sticks right to the window, and you just stuff the camera. Right. It's like a rubber.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Now, will it still, and one question though, with the window between it, will it still detect motion?
Yes.
I had no idea they made
I'll have to pull some clips, or I'll have to share some screen grabs of how I've got it set up now. But what I want to do is I want to get it so it's actually outside on the front porch. Mm-hmm. Now, I could put it somewhere else where I have another light socket, or I could mount to the light pole I have out front because that's got a light socket on it. Because the doorbell does a good enough job of covering my front porch. But I would like to see the street a little bit better, right? So I'm trying to figure out the best locations for that. But I want to get some coverage on the backside of my house because I currently don't have a camera that looks over my backyard. I've got one that looks out from the back room to the slider door inside. So if somebody came into the house, I would see them in the house. But I don't currently have a camera that looks out over my backyard. But I have a light out there. So I always thought, well, I could run an extension cord to the plug, but then that's not an extension cord. This solves that problem.
Yeah. Hmm. And it's a motion-detected light, right?
It said it was supposed to be able to do motion detection, but I'm assuming if you set up a rule that it's if the camera detects motion, it can turn the light on.
Right.
That's
right.
So cool.
Hmm. So
that's not bad for $14 or $15, whatever.
Not bad at all.
I'd have to look it up to exactly remember what it was, but it wasn't that expensive. But you know, I get a lot of the pre-order stuff because I've pre-ordered a ton of their products. So I don't know if it's even available still right now.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people have asked me about the not only the cameras, and it's funny. Before we change the subject, I got to tell you, it's kind of cool though when the local police comes to your house and knocks on your door. The other day, I got that because they wanted to look at the camera because they had some activity that was going on. And you know, we're out there looking on my smartphone with the app for the Nest because that's the Nest device. And we're like, okay. He goes, can you scroll like just another minute? I'm like, yep. And we didn't see what they needed to see, but it was still kind of cool. I think people in this day and age, and there are some people who are very privacy minded, say, no, I don't want a camera. I know that Sean, you're into, you know, the whole privacy element of this. Isn't it really a little more safe to have one? At least from the standpoint.
Absolutely. It's, you know, I have it connected so that I get alerts pushed to me when I'm away from home, but it's only on my account. It's not like it goes out to the cloud and anybody can see it. Right. It's linked to my account. I have to share the devices if I want to. So nobody can, unless they have access to my account, can see the devices, but it's great for if I'm at home and the door it detects motion on the front doorbell. I can see if it's just the neighbor kids trying to sell me candy for a fundraiser.
Right.
I can see if it's Amazon. I can see if it's UPS. I can see if it's somebody just knocking on my door, which we've had happen. I can see if it's Caitlin coming home. I can see, you know, the school bus go by, right? It's like it's a sense of security where the other night, Caitlin was doing some yard work outside because we had a nice day. She forgot to shut the back slider door.
Mm-hmm.
She left. She went out the front door, went to church for 3 or 4 hours.
Oh.
Because she sings in the choir. So she called me panicked at church saying, hey, I left the slider door back open. I can you check the back camera and see if anything's happened? Thankfully, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. But I could see that the door was open. And I could see when she had gotten home, she goes over and slides it shut and all that stuff. But it.
Well, you weren't home?
It detected. No, I was gone. I was traveling.
Oh.
So it's just nice knowing that it detected her leaving and coming home. Didn't detect any other motion, so I know that nobody was in the house between those periods of time.
Mm-hmm. Would
so
you?
It's just a safety net to know.
Yeah, would you consider this new Ring drone that flies around the house? Would you consider that?
No.
No.
No. That's
too much.
That's asinine. That's just. It's. I don't understand. I get it. It's cool. Your little camera can fly around the house and it can check. Why?
Yeah. Why? You're just going to freak out the pets. That's all.
Yeah, pretty much.
What, yeah, I just don't. I don't understand that.
I can't wait to see the videos.
I'm waiting for the first story of my drone started flying on its own, hacked by somebody, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Flying around. You're sleeping. All of a sudden, there's the drone. Yeah, that's not good. Anyway. All right. We can take a quick break. When we come back. We'll talk about some of the other cool things in tech. There is something brand new from Asus. You know, they make motherboards, laptops, computers. They've got something that's really different. It'll wash something, but it's not technical. So I'll tell you about that coming up.
And also, is MySpace coming back?
What?
We'll talk about it when we come back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So during the break, I looked it up. I went into my Wise account and looked up the account and looked up what I paid for those bulb lamp sockets. $9.99.
Oh, even better. $9.99.
Are they still available, though?
For two of them shipped, it was $29.58.
That's a pretty good price.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Two of them shipped is about the price of three. Why so much? Like, two of them would be $20.
Shipping and tax was $8, $10 for shipping and tax.
All right, okay. So, okay.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But yeah, I don't see them anywhere on the Wise shop. So
people may have a hard time getting them.
Yeah, I don't even see them on for sale at all. Oh, there they are. Wow. Oh, they're including them in a bundle. That's why it's so expensive. It's like $45 for the camera and the lamp socket.
Oh,
bundle.
And the camera. All right, that's not bad. Those cameras are cool.
But not available because they don't have any version 3 cameras available. Pretty much everything is on their website's out of stock right now.
See, that's the thing. People walk into, a Home Depot or a Lowe's and they see the cameras there from Nest and Ring and they're $200, sometimes $300.
Yep.
Here's the Home Depot here has Wise cameras.
See, they don't have the Wise cameras at the one near my house, but they've got them there.
Yeah, they have them here. They probably have some statistic on Wise Cam must be really popular in Granger, Indiana, because there's tons of them flying off the shelves because I'm buying them all. That's probably why they're here. They're probably like, this must be insanely popular.
When I was at Micro Center in Denver, I found an entire end cap full of Wise Cams. And you know, wow. It's funny that you mentioned that. What do we use cameras for? Security, right?
Right.
Did you see the article today?
No. What was it about?
Denver, Colorado is rated the number one city for worst package thefts.
Oh, man. It's gotten bad, yeah.
We are getting so bad around here, especially in my neighborhood. We have a locked mail room that has basically all of our mail slots in it. But the mail, the post office has been, I'm putting the blame on the post office here. And if the Postmaster General of the United States is listening to the show, you need to do something about this. I'm pretty sure he's not.
I heard it's one of his favorites.
Yeah. But anyway, the post office, they just put all of the packages on the floor of the mailroom. Now, again, the mailroom's locked. But the thing is people are walking by, typing in their codes. All it takes is some transient person who is a transient person that lives in the creek right down by, and lives in a van down by the river. Okay. Seriously. Coming up, watching somebody type in their code, get in there, and they have stolen every single package at least 5 different times. They've come in there in the middle of the day with trash bags and dumped all of the packages into a trash bag and walked off. And nobody ever says anything about it.
Somebody got to get a camera in there.
They do. They have cameras.
Watch them do it. Yeah.
Police don't do anything about package thefts.
Yeah.
In Denver, at least, because there's so many of them. They can't, they would have to be basically doing only that and not any other crime.
Do they do the Amazon drop-offs for those that are getting, because I know, think about it. A lot of people were ordering on Cyber Monday. They're going to be out and about. People
Amazon
are going to be out and about looking
delivers,
for stuff.
Amazon delivers to your door.
Right.
Because we have a distribution center not even a mile away from our house.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get things the same day if I want, certain things. But the Amazon trucks will deliver to your property. However, you better be on point. You better have a Nest camera, a Ring camera, a Wise camera, something out there to tell you, hey, we think we saw a package being delivered. Because if you don't, give it 20, 30 minutes, there's going to be somebody coming by and stealing your package.
Do you think it's a deterrent to have a Nest, a Ring, or a Wise Cam?
Not at all.
No.
Because the criminals know that they don't do anything about it.
So what do you do? I mean, what can you do?
You can get a lockbox that only allows dropping in, and then you'd have to unlock it to take it out.
Right.
You can use the Amazon lockers, but that's a little inconvenient because you got to travel somewhere to get it.
Right.
You can deliver to your work, which people don't want to do sometimes because, if I deliver a package to my work office that's actually in the city of Denver, I have to pay almost twice as much sales tax.
We have a really good neighbor. But we have a couple of good neighbors, really, on either side of us. And our neighbor, we've agreed, because our front doors are like right next to each other. We've agreed if a package is on the door, go ahead, see if they're home. If they're not home, bring it in. They'll do the same for us. Because
sometimes we have, we do that too. With like, we have a Facebook group of all the homeowners, and people will say, you know, hey, can somebody go by my house at this address and toss my package over my fence? You know, people do that.
Yeah, but then they climb over the back wall.
Well, it's better than being on the doorstep. I mean, thieves are looking for opportunity. So, I don't know. Sean, do you get a lot of package thefts up in your area?
I mean, not that I'm aware of. I know it happens, right? We have a pretty vigilant neighborhood group here. Sometimes they're a little too vigilant, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Facebook group, Caitlin fills me in on, oh, so-and-so had this happen, or so-and-so said there was a suspicious vehicle or whatever. But more often than not, I'm comfortable with if our package gets left. I mean, I know it gets there.
Right.
And if I know that we're going to be out of town, I will text my neighbor and say, hey, we have a package. Can you just toss it in the front door? Because he knows the code to my door.
Yeah.
Or the code to our garage, and they'll put it in the garage. And same for them. If we know they're out of town and they get a package delivered, we'll toss it in and toss it in the garage or something. So, you know, it's just about being vigilant and knowing your neighbors and trusting them to take care of you if you're gone or whatever. But
I know Amazon was doing a partnership with MyQ, which is, for those who don't know, that is a way to open up your garage door. And they were doing something where the Amazon driver could actually use the MyQ, open the garage door with the app. They put it in your garage and close the garage door.
Yeah, but here's the thing with that, though. They don't always sit there and wait to see if your garage actually closes.
Yeah.
They hit the button and they drive away. Because remember, they're under time constraints.
Mm-hmm.
So they could give
a
blank less if your garage actually closes after they put their package in there, which then can open you up for even way more theft.
Right. Or even litigation. They open the door and then somebody finds their way in. And
If they're using contract carriers, right?
Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
What's stopping somebody from saying to their brother or their sister or their cousin, saying, hey, man, this guy's got a valuable Magic the Gathering collection on tables that he's organizing in his garage. Or, hey, he's got a shiny new snowblower for my part of the country, right?
You can't touch Amazon because all of their delivery drivers are LLCs.
Oh, are they really?
So only person you can sue is the LLC, which they're not going to, they're going to have the basic bare minimum insurance. Right. You can't touch Amazon.
Yeah. And I've been hearing that most of the package thefts are happening with UPS and some of that. Amazon does I think Amazon maybe does a better job notifying you when you get a package. I don't know. I haven't had this problem yet, and I hope I never do, of a package being stolen, but we've been seeing it in the neighborhood. Now, let me ask you, do you guys use the Nextdoor app?
Not anymore. It is just trash.
Oh my God.
It's so many ads, and it's garbage.
No, not even ads. It's racism. It's trash.
What happened to it?
There's no moderation.
I loved it. When it first came out, I thought, this is a great idea.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to know what's going on in our neighborhood. Now you get people, and sometimes I'll read the posts, because I laugh because they're this most mundane things. Like, my tooth hurt today. I had some apple juice. I feel better now. I'm like, what the? This is Nextdoor. It's not Facebook.
Yeah. Well, there's that. And then there's also the oversensitive, guys, I just want to let you know, I just saw a person of color walk by my house at 3:25 p.m. Just want you all to know about that.
That has been on there, unfortunately.
Seriously? Yeah. Who? What?
Yeah.
Like,
people have been
a person walking down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People say stuff and it's like, whoa, I have done that. I've read the app and now I don't really check it that much.
No, I don't check it all anymore.
Because it's just got ridiculous. As a matter of fact,
I founded the Nextdoor neighborhood for our neighborhood.
But you did on Nextdoor or Facebook?
On Nextdoor.
On Nextdoor.
I created the Midtown neighborhood on Nextdoor. And I'm, I guess, one of the admins of it, but I never check it because it is just trash. And honestly, I don't think anybody in our actual neighborhood uses Nextdoor. It's all the people that are north,
southwest of us are using it, but nobody in our neighborhood.
A lot of missing cats and stuff. You find that.
Well, that's true, but the people have been on Facebook.
Now, all right, speaking of Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, God, you said, my line.
You said something
before
going into the break that had me say, wait, what? Mm-hmm. MySpace?
Yep.
Okay, what's the deal?
Well, there's no official article or news source about this. However, I'm seeing more and more of this happening is that Facebook is becoming MySpace in terms of they are going into oblivion.
Yeah.
Because more and more people are dropping the platform. Facebook is freaking out. And the less you use Facebook, the more notifications they send you. Things like, hey, there was this person you met in line at the bank 6 years ago. They're interested in a concert. You should check it out. Click here. It's like, wait, what? Why do I care about somebody I met one time 6 years ago? You know,
that's kind of like what Google Plus turned into.
Sure.
Yeah. Google Plus Twitter. Did go that way. Snapchat?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Snapchat's the worst.
Snapchat's gotten really bad. You know, and I've had parents that have told me, well, you know, my child would like a Snapchat account. And I'm going to keep them away from Snapchat.
No.
Keep them away. I have, like I said, I've seen stuff that have curled my eyebrows, and it's just through friend requests.
Yeah.
Somebody I don't know. And a lot of people are using it. They're using it to promote OnlyFans. They're using it to promote other things they're doing on the side.
Or scam you.
Or, you know, weed. You get people selling weed online. It's
to be honest, the OnlyFans subreddit is the best one.
I haven't seen that. Is that on
you
subreddit?
Should check it. It's pretty good.
I'm sorry.
I think Justin just pulled up the Reddit for
OnlyFans.
OnlyFans. Okay, let's not even go there on that.
No,
one.
No. We need to go there.
We can't go there.
No, we can go there. We can.
We're
go
gonna
there.
Embarrass
me.
Some of our listeners. There. Yeah. No.
You just got to understand, OnlyFans is kind of like this website for like adult content, right? Okay.
Yeah. Some musicians have used it to promote
their
music.
Yeah, but it's mostly adult content. If you go to OnlyFans on Reddit, it is literally just pictures of fans.
But all the headlines are crazy.
All the headlines are
and they're
so
all marked not safe for work.
Yes,
so it
not
looks
safe
like
for work.
It's going to be bad, but it's.
It's all fans.
So Reddit had a purge in late 2020, early 2021, where it banned a ton of inappropriate content, illicit content, and things like that.
Right.
And OnlyFans became available, and a moderator swooped it up and turned it into OnlyFans, where the only thing you can post are pictures of fans.
Of fans.
Here's the title.
Literal fans.
Here's a title. Now listen, this is safe for radio.
Okay.
This is a title. Here's a big girl partying under a disco ball. And it's just literally one of the and I'm gonna say this because you can say this because it's an actual name brand, one of the big ass fans. You know, like you see in Costco, they're called big ass.
Yes.
It's one of the big ass fans, and it's spinning underneath a disco ball.
That's awesome. That is hilarious. All right. We're gonna take another quick break. I didn't get to tell you what Asus is doing. I'll tell you when we come back, and I got some advice. I have some questions for you. Maybe you guys can provide some advice. We'll be back with more of Tech Talk Radio.
Now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
All right, so Sean, you were mentioning during the break, DJI, you know, the company that makes all the drones, they're like probably the most famous drone company out there. They're having problems yet again with Android. What is up? What's up with that?
Yeah, it seems that anytime Android has a new flagship or a new version of their OS, DJI seems to have issues, but DJI has basically told Pixel 6 users to borrow somebody else's phone that isn't a Pixel 6.
Oh my gosh.
To use its, but not just its drones. Anything that has images that are transferred over this, whatever their protocol
you
is.
You mean like even like my
your
Pocket,
Osmo.
The Pocket Osmo or anything like that. They don't know what it's just they don't really know what the issue is. But it says that the DJI Fly and the Mimo apps are suffering from an issue that prevents them from displaying live previews. So you could fly your drone and you could control it and you can take pictures and you can record videos, but you're not going to see anything on your phone.
Oh, well, that's going to make it difficult.
The images and then preview them. But
see, the thing is DJI
images.
Has always had problems with Android. Even back when the days, let's say, you know, early 2017, when I got my Phantom, my one and only drone that I ordered.
Right.
Or that I owned, the Phantom 4, I could not use Android. Hardly at all. It was so buggy. You would think that a company as big as DJI would be able to make an app that works on both the iPhone and on Android. Because I had a buddy that got a DJI Phantom, and he had an iPhone, and it worked flawlessly.
But Android didn't work for... Now, is this just... This is not just the Pixel. This would be Samsung and...
Well, no, he's saying this one is the Pixel.
This is just the Pixel 6s. The Pixel 6 and the Pixel 6 Pro.
Okay.
And here's DJI's statement. Having confirmed with our designated teams, the surging incompatibility issues on Pixel 6 and Pixel 6 Pro have been noticed. We will pay attention to it and strive to resolve it as soon as possible. Please wait patiently and thank you for understanding. If it bothers you, we would recommend you borrow or use another compatible device.
Oh, wow. At least into the meantime, till they fix it. Hopefully.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, especially with the amount of money that people are spending now. Like on the newest drone, the new one that they announced, I mean, it's what? $5,000?
The Mavic what? 3 Cinematic, which is... Mm-hmm. The DJI had... They offered like a tiered list of drones for the new Mavic 3. Like a Fly Now combo, which was like $1,299. A ProRes version, which is a recording codec for like 3200, and then like a ProRes RAW version, which can do like 6K at 60 frames and some other absurd amount of quality for 4900.
Yeah. If you're spending that much money and you can't get your Pixel 6 to work, yeah, that's not
right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So let me tell you a little bit about Asus is doing. All right.
Okay.
So I like Asus. I love Asus. The board that I bought, I still haven't put my system together yet. We'll get to that in a second. But Asus has launched something called the Asus. You guys might want to look this up. The Pure Go PD100. Now, while we know them for doing all the great tech and motherboards and systems, yep. The Pure Go PD100 is a food safety detection device.
What?
And what it does is you take it. It's enclosed, so you put your bananas, you put your tomatoes, you put your, you know, any foods in this device, and it identifies pesticides, pollutants, and other residues from fruits and vegetables. And it's something new that they're getting into. It can take a look at the washing and cleanliness detection levels to optimize a washing session of your fruits and vegetables to make sure there's no pesticides on them. It has an Android and iOS compatible app that can be used to give you the information from the unit that the food goes into. And it sells for about $199.99 from the Asus website. I mean, it's...
How much again?
$199.99. $200.
Okay, so what was it called? I want to look this up.
Asus. It's the Asus Pure Go PD100.
Pure Go is one this word is, or two go?
Yeah. This is intriguing. Like, this is cool. It looks wild.
Yeah. I mean, you put it in there, close it, then you could actually have water run through the food. That my problem, though, is what about the water contamination level? But I guess you're killing two birds with one stone there.
I understand how it works. So you put your fruit or vegetable in there and you put it in the water.
Yeah. And then it uses a sensor. And that sensor relays that information to your app as to pesticides that are coming off of that, food that you would be eating.
Oh, so you can soak it. You have to soak it in water and then see what comes off of it.
Yeah, and it can actually cleanse it for you, which is, that's pretty interesting stuff.
Interesting.
I mean, when technology, a company like Asus is getting into technology that, you know, helps our food, and you know, us being a little safer at home, that's pretty good. If anybody wants to look it up, apparently it's available for purchase now, the Pure Go PD100. All right, so here's my question for you guys. So I finally bought a cooler master fan for my new build that I'm going to build. I bought a power supply. I ended up going with a 750. I didn't go with an 800 modular power supply. I went with Corsair because that's what I have in my current rig right now. But then I started thinking, maybe it's time I go with water cooled. Yep. And I've never done that. And it scares me because I'm thinking, wait, water around my PC. Do I have to put water in it? Justin, you've had experience with this. For anybody who's thinking about doing it, why is this a better choice than me going with a traditional fan and thermal paste on it and sticking it in and it taking up a lot of space?
Well, I'm not sure if I'm the best person to be qualified for that, to be honest. Yeah. I like the water cooling because I like, so the all-in-one, look, there's two different types of water cooling. There's the all-in-one stuff that you can get for like cooling down your CPU
mm-hmm.
instead of a CPU fan. And then there's like the crazy ones that are, you know, you've got your own pumps that pump the cooling liquid from your motherboard chipset to your CPU to your GPU,
all that stuff.
No, see that those are like the crazy water cooling stuff. Like I don't want that. Like I got the all in one. It's a Corsair.
Yeah, is Corsair.
I got Cooler Master. Sorry, all right. I got Cooler Master. It's a dual fan, so it's two 140 millimeter fans, and it's a radiator, so it sits on top of on my
in your tower.
In my tower, and it blows out.
Okay.
So I've got two fans in the front that suck air in, and then it blows it across the radiator out the top, and that cools down just my CPU. And honestly, that's enough for me. Like, yeah. Personally, it's great. It keeps my CPU pretty cool. And it keeps it a heck of a lot quieter than, you know, like traditional fans or whatever. I do have one fan. It's an industrial strength fan. As an exhaust fan on the back of the motherboard, that guy will get super loud if I want him to.
And you could control that all in the BIOS, can't you?
Sure. I can control it within Windows. Like, for instance, if I wanted to turn him up right now, give me 1 second. Hold on. All watch right. this.
We're going
to
get an actual demonstration.
We're going to actually hear it. Yeah.
Okay. So here's what it sounds like right now.
All right.
Okay. Hold on. Now I'm going to turn it up to full blast.
Oh, wow. And you're doing that within Windows.
Yeah. Within Windows. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So,
we heard
and then now I can go right back down to silent again. That's the only fan that actually makes noise. All my other fans don't really make noise. And so I really appreciate that exhaust fan. I can't remember who it was, but I think it was something with started with a D. I can't remember, like DTI or something like that made it. But it was a Chinese brand. But, man, this thing can suck.
So do you think, for maybe doing a water-cooled system where it's all enclosed, there's no pump, you know, you hook that to your...
Well, every water-cooled system is going to have a pump.
But it's not one that I have to fill or anything
No, 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 no. It's all... It's all enclosed. An enclosed... I think they call it closed loop.
Right. And I'll probably be pretty happy with that.
I think so.
All right. I'm going to have to look into that.
It's a smaller form factor, so it looks a little neater, right? Because it sits more... flush with the case, so you don't have the big CPU, you don't have the big aluminum heatsink on it, the fan on top of that. I've never done water cooling. I've taken apart systems that have done water cooling, and they're relatively easy. It's just like putting on a regular heatsink with a fan. It clamps on.
How about where it goes in the motherboard? Is that a difficult task? I mean, because it seems like it's going to take up more space.
The radiator has to mount somewhere.
Right.
So typically it would mount up towards the top, like Justin said, or...
Yep.
At the back where it has access to the vent, the warm air out. But the radiators aren't even really that big. It's smaller than a power supply.
So the only other thing I need to get, I've got the power supply. I was going to go ahead and order the air. I already ordered an actual traditional one. This is a regular fan. Now I'm going to go ahead and get this. I think I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah. It's great.
But now I have to decide a video card. But I don't.
Good luck.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't need a 3080. I don't need that. What would be like midline when it comes to video
2060?
Cards? 2060. A 2060. They're not like $500, right?
No. Well, maybe now because of this, there's just such limited quantity of them. You could, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say I'd agree with Sean. A 2060 or even like what Sean's got now, the 1080 Ti, is still a decent graphics card.
Right.
Definitely a decent graphics card.
And you're pretty happy with what you got, Sean? Do you want to upgrade and sell me the 1080?
If I were to upgrade, I would probably try and find a 3060. I don't know if I'd necessarily go with a TI.
Yeah.
Well, just wait another 6 to 8 months. They're going to come out with the 4000 series.
Yeah. You hear what I don't want to interrupt you, but did you hear during Black Friday? They were saying that people were buying pre-builts with the 3060s in them and getting them
to get it
just to get the graphics card because it was cheaper.
Exactly what I was just going to say is I was just going to say that if you want to get a 3060, buy a pre-built, then just sell the rest of it and make your money back.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. So a case, the case is the only other thing. I don't know. I'm thinking
fractal.
Yeah. I don't like the front panels of those. The fractal ones. They're all, you know, cut.
I don't even see the front panel of mine because mine is facing to the side with the window. So I see inside my computer at all times.
There's one from a company, and I'm trying to remember the name of the company. It looks like a helicopter, like an Apache helicopter, an attack helicopter.
Wait, a case that looks like...
A case. It looks like if you were, you know, the front...
That's just a novelty.
But it looked pretty cool. And it was only $200. I thought, that's kind of cool looking.
Good luck trying to ever resell that.
That's going to look old in about 2 years, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to go, oh, that's cool. Yeah, exactly.
You better really love Apache helicopters.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I was going to go full bore because the Asus board I got has the RGB connector, the head in, so I can change colors. And I can, you know, use the Asus BIOS to adjust the RGB colors so I can have it all red and all that. And then I was going to buy a case that had three fans on the front that was made by Cooler Master. And you can change the colors on it. And like right now, my hard drive light lights up in the office. And sometimes it just starts, it gets to the point where you're sitting in the other room and it's like, turn the damn thing off.
Yep.
Yeah. I put tape over it before.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I personally just really like my fractal design. I like that one. Yeah. It's small. It is smaller than a mid tower. It's not quite a micro or a mini, whatever. It's kind of like somewhere in between, but from what I need it to, I don't really need a lot of PCIe slots. I just need one for my graphics card, for a USB expansion, and I'm good.
You're good to go. We're going to take another break. We come back. You got a website of the week for us? Got a product of the week?
I think we can come up with something.
All right. Product of the week, yes.
All right, we'll do that when we come back with Tech Talk Radio.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
So we've been feverishly looking for a product, website of the week. It's been a long week.
It has been a long week.
Sean has said, oh, I got something. So, Sean, what do you got?
Well, I don't have it, but I want it.
Okay.
So Justin was talking about Farming Simulator. One of the favorite games of my past was Harvest Moon 64. It's a very early version of some sort of farming simulator where you run a small town and have. So Nintendo recently announced their new online where you can play games online with your friends and things like that. And they added Nintendo 64 games. So now you have your classic NES games, your Super Nintendo games, and now 64 games.
Wait, do they have GoldenEye?
Well, yeah.
No, they do not have GoldenEye.
Oh, my.
They have Donkey Kong?
They do.
Okay.
So... They listed these wireless Nintendo 64 controllers for the Switch, and I immediately jumped and tried to get them. Sold out everywhere, anywhere you can get them. You can't get them anywhere but from Nintendo's website. They're $49. So right. It's a wireless. It looks, it feels, it. You can't get them, and limit to four per Nintendo account, and they still are gone. They're going for. Over $120 on eBay.
Oh my gosh. There's the boss again.
Are you going to bite the bullet?
No.
No.
I refuse. I refuse to give in to the bots.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep trying. I'm going to just.
You know, keep this is going to have to.
Whenever I think about it,
they're going to have to figure something out about these bots. You know?
Yeah.
Eventually, they're going to have to.
Well, yeah, you heard about the recent one. It's not even tech. So there was Reese's was selling this big 9-inch pie for Thanksgiving. A peanut butter pie. People were buying the pie. They only made 3,000 of them and selling money bay for $500. Jesus. It was a $20 pie.
That's the problem with the internet is collection. Getting the people's sense of, I have to have this right now because somebody else is going to get it worldwide. It's worldwide release. Yep. But there's only 500 of them. I have to be one of those 500 people. It's gonna drive the price of anything up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's supply and demand.
It is. All right. Well, that is it for this week's show. We will be back next week. We want your questions. You got a question for the show. We want to answer it. Just drop us a line at techguys@techtalkradio.com. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Sean DeWeerd.
And I'm Justin. Let me have yourselves a great week. We'll see you next time.